Hey everyone, welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant to become highly effective influencers. As always, I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining us today, our lead pastor, Ronnie Rothy, and we get the privilege of having Matt Paddock, our inviting department director, join us. Good morning, guys.
What up, what up?
Good morning.
All right, so Matt, many people know you from preaching or leading worship on Sunday mornings, but there's a story behind how you've gotten to where you are today. Would you share with us a little bit of your story, you know, how you got into ministry, what you did before coming to Relevant, and how you got to Relevant?
Yeah, of course. I have actually been in some sort of ministry role of one kind or another for over 25 years. Back when I was done with high school, I could play music, and back then they would throw anybody into a ministry role that could play music because they just had to have people.
And three chords.
Yeah, exactly.
Three chords.
Didn't have to play much.
Sing a little bit.
But I was lucky enough to work in student ministry, leading worship for different student ministries, and eventually took a full-time role at a church in Houston, doing full-time student ministry worship there. And then it was just a lot of progression, right? Like I took a job, ended up here in Omaha, taking a job as a worship pastor at a church plant that lasted for a little over 2 years before it ran out of funding and had to find some other things to do. And so was leading worship at different places, and then ended up connecting with Ronnie, getting to know him, and kind of a long story, but my business partner at the time, he was also a part of Relevant. And so I just got to hear all the stories of what God was doing here at Relevant, how amazing it was that he was moving.
And, yeah, and your business partner, some people remember, it was Tyler McCarty.
Tyler McCarty, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, if you remember Tyler. And so he would just kind of share these stories with me in the office, and it just kind of stirred my heart for what God was doing here at Relevant, and it was just time for me to move on from where I was. And I actually came over to Relevant not for a position, not to be paid. I felt like this is where God wanted me and my family, and that lasted about a month or two before I was doing some kind of work and doing ministry here at Relevant. I actually just passed my 10-year anniversary. I don't know if you
yeah.
knew that. Yeah, like just a few weeks ago.
It's crazy you've been here 10 years,
being
dude.
On paid staff. And I came over here and obviously leading worship, as you said, Nick, and that was kind of my main role, overseeing everything from a music perspective and a lot of Sunday morning. And that progressed into being the inviting department director and overseeing all of Sundays. What takes place on a Sunday morning outside of student ministry or next gen ministry. And recently my role went from, you know, leading worship pretty much every week when I started to now maybe once every five or 6 weeks, whenever Misty schedules me, because now Misty works for me. And now my role, my pastoral role, is I'm a teaching pastor here and teach about 25% of the year and oversee the preaching planning system and communicator development. So that's what the process has been like for me.
Yeah, it's been fun to see you progress. I mean, because really you've gone from being a worship leader to a director overseeing an entire department. And then obviously, if you just said now, which was a huge, huge thing of you really transitioning into that, you know, teaching pastor role. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, I've always preached like 70% of the time. And, you know, years ago, it was just trying to, you know, we have, you know, people on the preaching team that basically like, hey, those are who then I would select from to just try to get other people up there other than me, but trying to just stay at 70%. But man, you've just grown so much as a communicator and, you know, so having you take on, you know, a large chunk of really preaching Sundays, you know, 25%, you know, Matt, it is awesome watching you grow in that way and take on those roles. And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it was really kind of a weird transition for me, if you think about it, especially in anything that would be considered an artist type of role to kind of lead my way out of a job, if you will, like just to get to the point where I could recognize that other people could do things better than I could and just be able to say, hey, that's better for our church. That's better for people on Sunday mornings, and just be able to pass that off to people was not easy. I mean, no,
yeah.
It was never an easy thing to do, but it was awesome. It's awesome to look back and see how coinciding with that happening, God was also working in my heart and desire to learn to communicate better and to put more effort into that. So it's been a really cool transition.
Now there, what people don't get, and you didn't, you know, it's so hard to understand, is the grind of every week, like preaching every week is a, it's a big deal. It's one thing to go, oh, hey, can you preach this Sunday? And then there's the grind of every single week in, week out. And you just, this spring, you said, hey, there was a 7-week series that was, you were the lead communicator on, and you said, hey, I'm going to do all 7 of those weeks. Tell what that experience was like, Matt.
I'll tell you what that experience was like. That experience led to, in this 4-week series that I'm currently doing, I'm not even doing all 4 of those. So, it was definitely a little bit of a trial. It was a stretching point for me. I'm super glad I did it. I mean, Ronnie, I told you, like, it helps me empathize with you a little bit more when you're going through long stretches, and just helps me know, like, hey, when we go into the future, the more I take leadership over, especially the planning system for our preaching, that it just helps me know that it's best if we can create structures where we're not doing giant stretches like that, because it is extremely taxing on every aspect of life, not just work life. So
it absolutely is. And Matt, dude, it's just awesome to just lead with you and serve with you, because I mean, we're great friends, and you know, we're always bantering back and forth about working out, and you know. And someday, Matt, you keep working hard, and you too will be as big as me. You just
There's
keep
a chance. Yeah.
Well, Matt, I'm glad you're here joining us today. Truth is, you and I have known each other for about 20 years. When I was an intern at a church, we got to work on some projects together because you were working at the district office. When Amy and I first got married, we went to the Family Life Conference, and you and Holly were the first people that we ran into there. We actually played on a softball team together about 15 years ago. Yeah. Even did some marriage small groups together. But, you know, it's just been cool to see you develop, to see you grow, and just kind of the story that you laid out for us. And now we get to work together on paid staff. It's a joy and an honor to get to do this with you. Most of our volunteer staff probably don't know this, but we actually have, for our paid staff at Relevant, we have developed what we call paid staff behaviors, and there are actually 12 of them. I would assume that most of the people listening probably have noticed them hanging on the wall in the offices and are wondering what exactly they are. One of those paid staff behaviors is what we call make it better. It's a behavior that we want to drive everything that we do. We strive to make everything better, everyone around us better, and ourselves better, because we realize as leaders, our goal is to make whatever we are doing better. Or maybe another way of putting it is to win at whatever we exist for.
Yeah, and you know, these 12 paid staff behaviors is just going, hey, these are things that we've agreed upon how we're going to behave as paid staff leaders in order to have a healthy staff culture, a healthy organization. We're saying if we don't behave in this way, there's no way that we can lead our church forward. And when it comes to make and win, I mean, what the heck is the purpose of leadership? We talked about this before. It's to win. It's to succeed. And man, we can't win in leading our teams and our groups, can't win in marriage, can't win in relationships, can't win in your business, can't win in anything without constantly working to make it better.
Yeah, so as leaders, it's so important that we strive to make it better. For today, the question is that we need to ask ourselves is how? How do we as leaders make it better?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, for me, this goes back to something we talked about last month. Like, hey, as leaders, if we're going to make it better, it really starts with knowing why we're doing what we're doing. You know, so when it comes to the purpose, like why? Like, if you're going to make your team get better, group better, ministry better, shoot, your marriage better, you got to know the purpose. Like, why are we doing what we're doing? What's the measure of success here? What the outcomes are looking for? And then what's the strategy? Like, what do you do and how do you do whatever it is that you're doing, that team, that group, that system, that strategy. After that, I mean, so that's where it starts. And after that, to consistently make it better, I think you consistently make it better by doing what I call orchestrating and evaluating. Orchestrating is actually carrying out your plan, orchestrating your plan. But there's a piece to it that has to happen in order to make it better. You just can't orchestrate. You also have to evaluate. Evaluate if what you're doing is successful or not, if it's achieving the purpose and the outcomes, if how you're operating is actually helping you move toward the purpose of whatever you're doing. So the big idea for me when it comes to make it better is to make it better, orchestrate, and evaluate. To make it better, orchestrate, and evaluate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't mention this earlier in my little bit of story. I kind of mentioned that a business partner, but that's just, it's been kind of a thing for me for most of my life of just starting new things. So when I start new things, I know that they won't last very long if I'm not continually working to make them better. You know, I mentioned Tyler, my business partner. We started multiple businesses together over the years. And so without an understanding of the desire and the need to continue to orchestrate and evaluate and make it better, we would have never been successful at all. I thought a little bit about this question, and like, I have strategic and restorative in my top five. And so if you guys remember Jeremy Petrosini, he would always point these out to me as one of the reasons why make it better is a big part of who I am, because I just see something that is broken, something that isn't quite working like it should, and my restorative kicks in and just wants to fix it and make it better. And then my strategic is always thinking, how can we take this next step to make this a little bit better?
Yeah, and it's one thing to orchestrate, right? Everything, we're orchestrating everything we do, but, you know, as you just said, if you don't evaluate it, it does not get better. Nothing gets better just by orchestrating, just by going through the grind, doing what you said you're going to do. Nothing will ever get better doing that. You have to evaluate.
Yeah, I think it's totally natural to orchestrate, to make things happen for us as leaders, to focus on the tasks, to make a plan, to see our plan through. But I don't think it's always as natural to evaluate that plan. So what is at stake if we don't evaluate?
Well, I mean, I think a couple things are at stake. I think what's at stake if we don't evaluate is us being leaders who are highly effective influencers. You know, for those of you who are listening, you being a leader who's a highly effective influencer. I mean, the only way people ever get to where we're trying to lead them is by us knowing where we currently are. If you don't know where you currently are, you can't go toward where you want to be. So to go toward where you want to be, a better future, to go toward where you want to be, where you want your team to be, where you want your group to be, where you want your ministry to be, where you want your marriage to be, where you want your company to be, where you want your relationship with your kids to be, you have to know where you currently are. Whether your team or group that you're leading succeeds or fails, whether what I'm leading succeeds or fails, it's really up to us as the leaders. Leaders drive performance. But I think what's the other thing that's at stake if you don't evaluate, as we just talked about a second ago, nothing's going to get better. Your team won't get better. Your group won't get better. Your marriage won't get better. Shoot, you won't get better. Getting better does not happen by accident. You know, Matt, you just mentioned, you know, we just talked about you taking on, transitioning to a teaching pastor role, and now preaching 25% of the time. There's only one reason that has happened. It's because over the last couple years, you have gotten so much better at communicating and preaching. I mean, I hear all the time, people are like, man, Matt has gotten so good. He's gotten so good. And there's only one reason that you have gotten so good. It's not because you're planning sermons and pulling them off. It's because after you preach, there is an extraordinary level of evaluation. What was successful? What wasn't successful? How did I do? And that's really why you've gotten better. I love the quote from Howard Hendricks that experience is not the best teacher. Like, anyone who says that is just, like, that's just ridiculous. Experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. Yeah. Man, evaluation, it is so vitally important, because as leaders, if we don't evaluate, someone else is going to be evaluating for us. However, their evaluation is going to either come through complaining or criticism. And so we can choose to evaluate to help make it better, or we can allow others to evaluate through their complaining or their criticism. And when someone criticizes and you aren't evaluating, when someone criticizes us and me and I'm not doing really good evaluation, what it does for me is it shakes my confidence. But when I know that we have a great, you know, system in place of evaluation, and anyone complains or criticizes, I can have confidence that I know we are working to make it better. You know, this is something we've, you know, for Sunday mornings, Matt, and this is obviously falls under you. For, you know, on Sunday mornings, everyone, the level of sound and the loudness or the unloudness, whatever way you want to say that, it's so subjective, mm-hmm. and people like different levels. Well, they're, people don't realize the level of orchestrating and evaluating we do with that. And yeah. You've put all these systems in place and gauges of what the sound level is, and everything's got to stay within these levels, and everything does. And so when anyone complains about
the sound on Sunday morning, knowing that their complaint is a subjective complaint, we can have confidence to know that, man, what we're doing, and it's the right decibel levels and everything, because we've orchestrated and evaluated. Man, as leaders, we know we never want to be satisfied. We should never be satisfied, because if we do become satisfied in anything we do, if we don't make it better, we become complacent. And if we become complacent and leading our team, our group, and our ministry, our marriages, they just fail. So we always got to strive to make it better, and to make it better, orchestrate and evaluate.
Yeah, one quick thing on what I think is at stake, and Ronnie did a great job of 30,000 foot high level leadership stuff and evaluating some of the negatives. When I looked at this question, I thought about if all we ever do is evaluate when things are going poorly, we're also at stake of, you know, never knowing how to get back to where we were at one point. So yep. I say it this way, like even if things are going gangbusters and they're blowing up and things are the best and they feel perfect and great, and they really are, like they're achieving the goal and things are moving forward, but you never take the time to sit down and figure out why. If it ever breaks, that's what's at stake, right? If it ever breaks, you're never going to know why or how, and you're never going to be able to get back to that point, or even, as we're talking about today, make it better in the future.
Yeah, you should know just as much about when things are going, why things are going well, exactly, as when why things aren't going
exactly
well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if evaluating is so important, what are things that prevent you or maybe other leaders you've seen from evaluating?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's not a secret to anybody that honest, true evaluation is hard, right? It's never easy to hear that something that you've put significant work into, something that you've poured hours and hours of time, weeks of time into, still needs some tweaking. It just doesn't feel very good, especially with anything that happens regularly, like a Sunday morning for me. I'll be really honest, evaluation for me has been tough over the course of 10 years, because that's a lot of Sundays for 10 years straight, every Monday after that Sunday evaluate. I mean, it begins to feel like you're getting kind of beat up, like,
yeah,
especially if it's done incorrectly. And so it becomes easier to just say, hey, what did you think? Like, how did it feel? Yeah. It just becomes a little bit easier to go the feel route, because most times it feels pretty good. Like, one of the other things that keeps leaders from evaluating is things that they get into a rhythm, and they start to just kind of roll on their own, and they start to feel and work as you intended them to. And so you get months down the road of looking back going, hey, everything was pretty good. And so you don't feel this pressure to kind of dig deep and figure out why. And so then evaluation becomes simply based on feel. I also think people try to evaluate but haven't really taken the time to figure out the right questions to ask. And so they sit down in a group and they have good intentions of evaluating an event or something that took place, or a group or a meeting, but they don't even know the right questions to ask. And so even with good intentions, their evaluation stinks because they don't really know what they're trying to do.
Yeah. You know, Matt, I agree. I mean, I think the biggest thing is not having a plan for what you evaluate and how to evaluate.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just got to have a plan. But outside of that, one thing that stops from evaluating is just the ease of making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excuses, let's just be honest, whether it's your team or your group or whatever it is that you're leading, if you're not evaluating, you will automatically start making excuses for everything. And excuses just stop us from taking extreme ownership. Good leaders don't make excuses. Good leaders always are figuring out a way to get it done, a way to win, a way to make it better. And you will either evaluate or make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing really good evaluation, excuses go bye-bye, and you're just going, man, we're doing this in order to help make it better. But once again, it just all starts with a plan. I think, you know, Nick, that's to me what keeps, I've seen so many, so many group leaders, team leaders really stop from evaluating. It's just there's just no plan for when and what and how to evaluate.
Yeah, when I first thought up this question, instantly the first word that came to my mind was pride. And the second thing that came to my mind was actually our leader rallies. And when I stepped into the role of equipping department director, one of the first things I did was create our leader rallies. And I was so excited about them. I was like, we're going to get to train all of our leaders, equip them to be the best that they can be. I spent a ton of time, thought I had the best idea in the world. and we had less than a third of our leaders show up.
Yeah.
And we kept doing them for over a year, and we kept having over a third of our leaders show up. And I know it was issues like, well, we did them on Saturday mornings. We didn't have childcare, a lot of different things going into it. But, you know, for me, there was pride involved in it. For me, I was like, this is the best idea that I've had. I'm so proud of this. And everybody that came to them was like, those are so great, Nick. I really enjoyed it. I, you know, I only heard positive comments. And so, like Matt was saying, going off of how it feels, like, you know, I felt like they were going great. But when the question was asked, are we equipping all of our leaders, you know, the purpose of the leader rally, the answer was a pretty clear no.
Yep.
And so, you know, that was it was a hit to my pride that I had to take. It was something that I had to say, you know, okay, well, what can we do? Yep. You know, like you said, ask the right questions. What could we do differently? And so, you know, I think that how we feel is something that we go off of a lot. And we don't want to evaluate, you know, just off of how we feel. So how do we know that we're evaluating effectively?
Well, I don't think there's a perfect way to evaluate. I just think you just have to have a plan. Not a perfect plan, but just a plan, some type of system. And as Matt says, it really does operate around questions. So to me, there's three questions to answer to develop your plan. The first question is, when do I evaluate? It's a when question. Like, because, you know, and when you do it depends on what it is that you're leading. It depends on the team you're leading, or group you're leading, system you're leading, environment you're leading. You know, weekly things, as Matt was saying, you know, he leads Sunday gatherings. Well, those weekly things need evaluated every week. You shouldn't evaluate those once a month. Things that happen, you know, every trimester or annually, those things, the when should be after they are complete. So the question I would ask all of you is, do you know when you evaluate? Second question to answer about to put together a system is, who do you evaluate with? So this is a who question. You just need to evaluate with people who are helpful and not critical. People who can look at the big picture and little details and then help you develop and carry out solutions of what you're identifying in the evaluation. So when do you evaluate? Who do you evaluate with? Who's going to be helpful and can see the big picture, little picture, details, and can help carry out solutions? And then the third question really is, how do you evaluate? I suggest just really, if you want to put together a plan of evaluation, and I would encourage everyone to come up with some good evaluation questions that you can ask repeatedly that help you determine if what you are doing is helping you achieve your purpose, your outcomes, if it's helping you be successful. Three really great questions that you could ask if you're like, I don't know what questions to ask. There's three good ones you can ask every single time. And if you never went outside of these, that's totally fine. The first question is, what was successful and why? Like what we just did, the group, what was successful and why? Our team, how our team operated this morning, what was successful and why? So another way to ask that question is, where did we win? Second question you can ask on when it comes to how to evaluate is, what could have been better and why? Or, you know, where did we lose? So you ask, what was successful and why? What could have been better and why? And then the third question, honestly, is goes back to what topic of the day is, how can we make it better? Based on what could have been more successful and what could have been better, well, okay, how can we make it better? You know, on when it comes to sermons, I just mentioned, you know, Matt, you just absolutely getting so much better. You know, we evaluate sermons every Monday. And, you know, the purpose, we know the why of sermons. You know, for us, the purpose is practical biblical teaching that invites, inspires, and empowers people to take a next step to follow Jesus. And we have this written on a document. And within that document, we also have, nine different outcomes. The outcomes are the message is connected to the series. Another one is biblical truth is presented accurately. Another one is the Bible is compelling, engaging, approachable, and irresistible. And those are just three of those nine. But every Monday, we've chosen to basically sit down and evaluate the sermon. Well, the sermon, what we've done in order to evaluate is we've come up with five questions. And so the five questions that we ask in evaluation is, number one, was it engaging? Number two, did they care? Did the people we're preaching to care? Number three, was it clear? Number four, was it helpful and practical? And number five, was it irresistible? So what we've done is we've taken, you know, answering those five questions, there's a lot within all of those. It helps show, did we hit the outcomes of what we're trying to achieve in our sermons to ultimately achieve the purpose? But we know when we evaluate, we know who we evaluate with, and we know how to evaluate. We know the questions to ask.
Yeah, real quick, I didn't want to cut you off, but people might notice that even in those five questions, there were some feel questions in there, right? Yep. Like there were some questions like, did they care? Like we can't, we're not actually taking an evaluation as you walk out the door to find out if you care. So don't be afraid to ask questions that are based on feel. I think there's often opportunity to evaluate well, even on that. And I was just going to bring up, like, this may sound crazy to people, but you said earlier, it doesn't need to be a perfect plan. It just has to be a plan. Well, I have, over the course of these 10 years, I have evaluated our evaluation plan multiple times. I'm actually currently in the process of evaluating our current evaluation plan. And Ronnie, you remember, like, it was just a few years ago, people listening, they may not know that sometimes Ronnie can come across a little harsh things, you know, every now and then.
Really?
And so I decided that it was best to remove Ronnie from our Sunday morning evaluations, not because his evaluations weren't great. Of course they are. It just felt like I could take Ronnie's evaluations from him to me, and I could present them to my team in a way that came across a little bit easier for them to handle and take next steps with. So it's just a simple thing to look at and say, hey, it's not that Ronnie doesn't need to be in there, shouldn't be in there. It's just, hey, this is a better way that our team on Sunday mornings can evaluate and actually move forward. And so, yeah, just constantly, even the system of how you evaluate, just take some time to look at it every now and then. I think it'll make it better.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys have both said that we need to have a plan. You know, I think we've got a lot of different leaders listening, a lot of different kind of leaders. I think we have group, you know, we have group leaders, team leaders, lead different things. Some people who are part of creating whatever they're leading, some people that were handed to them, whatever they were leading. I think back 4 years ago, I took over staff orientation, and there was already a system set up, a plan. After week 10, every week we would sit down and we would ask these questions, and it was a really good plan. And again, it was a regular thing because we do staff orientation 3 times a year. Mm-hmm. And we would end week 10 and we'd have a couple weeks before we started week 1 again. And so I'd feel this pressure every time, like, okay, I got all this evaluation. I got all this information, but I don't know what the heck to do with it. I don't even feel like I have time to do anything with it. And so a lot of times I would get really good evaluation from my team, and the truth is I wouldn't do anything with it. I would just go into the next trimester of staff orientation and I'd be like, okay, next time we'll change that. We'll modify that. We'll make it, you know, better. And so, you know, what do you guys have, you know, to help us know what to do with the information we gain from our evaluation?
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to make it a competition here, but I learned a long time ago when it comes to evaluation for Sunday mornings, I got 6 days. I pretty much have 5 work days to make the adjustments. And so one of the things that I learned pretty quick, and this is, I tell my team this all the time, it's important to determine what's an emergency and what's an anomaly. An anomaly happens once. It's something that you prepared for. It's something that you planned. It's something that you trained for your teams, that you trained them to do this certain thing. And for whatever reason, on a Sunday morning or at an event or in a group, it just didn't happen. And so you look at it and you say, hey, did I train them correctly? Did they know it was supposed to happen? Well, yeah, they did. And I use an example all the time of, like, on Sunday mornings, the door greeters, they have to open doors at a certain time. They have to close doors at a certain time. Well, it doesn't happen the same every week. And some weeks, they just don't get opened on time, just as an example. And it's like, hey, do they know they're supposed to open on time? Absolutely they do. Do they do it 90% of the time? They sure do. And so it's nothing worth, you know, going nuts over or retraining an entire team over an anomaly. Now, an emergency is something that needs attention right away. I mean, for us, like a recent one is Ronnie noticed something that we had seen, a security breach, if you will, a door that was being left open. Well, a security breach is not something you wait on. You make the adjustment right away. you talk to the safety team right away. You tell them, this is what we're going to do, and it has to happen, or a broken light on a stage, or a distracting, flickering screen. It's something that you take care of right away. Anomalies get discussed. They get documented. You look for them over the course of a few weeks, but emergencies get worked on right away after the meeting, after the event, and they're taken care of before the next one.
Yeah, I honestly, if I, like, what do you do with the information? This goes back to this, everything that I believe in and the way I preach is just take one small step. Like, if you can think about, like, hey, in your group, I'm going to try to make it 1% better this week than my group was last week. Just one little small step, make it 1% better. Do it now. Don't let it go on for weeks. It's just, you can't always try to fix everything, but just take one small step.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking back of our staff orientation team, I would say that, you know, we have participants do evaluation every time. And one thing that we hear just about every time is that 10 weeks is too long. You know, it could have been shorter. And we usually hear that one out of about 30 evaluations that we have participants fill out. And for us, it's like, well, yeah, we get that. Some people wish it could be short, you know, shorter, but there's always more people that are saying, well, I wish it was actually longer. I wish we could actually keep this going. And so, you know, there's times where you got to figure out, do we need to just work the plan better, or do we need to come up with a whole new plan? So, yeah, guys, this is great stuff. You know, it's been really helpful for me, helpful for all of our leaders. What advice do you have, you know, to make it practical, to help us take a next step in terms of making it better in our own leadership?
Well, leaders, let me ask you, everyone listening, do you have a system to evaluate your team? Do you have a system to evaluate your group? Do you have a system to evaluate your ministry? I mean, shoot, if you're married, do you have a system to evaluate your marriage? If not, I would just encourage you, take extreme ownership of putting together a system of evaluation. Just put one in place. When do you evaluate? Who do you evaluate with? How do you evaluate? Don't worry about doing this perfect. This is about progress, not perfection. Just do it. Do it for your team. Do it for your group. Do it for your marriage. Do it for your relationship with your kids, because you want it to be better. In the short term, I would just encourage you right now, like when you're done listening to this podcast, whatever it is that you are leading, is take just a few minutes and answer these three questions about your team or your group today. What is going successfully and why? What could be better and why? And how can I make it better? And just take one small next step.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think one of the things that I would suggest, and it comes back to what we've been talking about with kind of my transition into a teaching pastor role, and thanks, Ronnie, for saying I've gotten better. I shouldn't be the one to say that, but I feel like I have gotten a little bit better. And one of the ways that I've gotten better is I've taken the time to evaluate myself. And so every Sunday I preach, every Sunday I host, I pull up the recording and I watch myself. And so I know that doesn't fit with everybody necessarily, but there is an opportunity for you. I think when this is done, you can. If you know what you're trying to achieve in your event, in your group, with your team, if you know those things, you can take a few moments and self-evaluate. And then just be willing, whatever you say to yourself about yourself, take some steps to make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have done a great job of answering my questions today. Do you, either one of you, have any final thoughts that you want to leave us to about anything related to this topic?
Yeah, I'll just say this real quick, just because I'm in this season myself, is I think after you do this for a really, really long time, there's going to be times that you go through that you're not going to want to do it anymore. That you're going to become complacent or okay with just allowing it to be good, because it is pretty good, right? Whatever you may be doing is probably pretty good. It's just, you have to let the desire to make it better outweigh your lack of desire to evaluate.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, Matt, that's awesome. Hey, all I would say is just remember to make it better, orchestrate, and evaluate. If you can remember that phrase, to make it better, orchestrate, and evaluate. If you consistently evaluate, you will make whatever it is you're leading better. And you want it to be the best it can be. I mean, that's why you're leading. So take extreme ownership of it, and you will be a more highly effective influencer.
Yeah, that's such good stuff, guys. Ronnie, Matt, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your thoughts, your insights. For all of our listeners out there, as always, thanks for joining us and investing in yourself as a leader. Make sure to subscribe on the platform that you're listening to the Relevant Leader Monthly, so you can get this automatically every month. And make sure to join us again next month for another fascinating conversation to help equip all of us to be highly effective influencers.